Welcome back. You're with David Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. Faisal, so many people we talk to, when they think about the retirement vision and dream, it involves travel to exotic places. And in many cases, it involves living overseas.
Yeah. You know, you come across a lot of people who talk about the benefits of living abroad, owning businesses abroad. Yep. And we've come across one individual I really am excited to talk about. He's obtained residency in 4 countries, Dave. He's opened bank accounts in 15 countries. He's launched and operated businesses in 7 countries, bought real estate in 24 countries, educated his children in 4 different countries as well, and attained a second citizenship.
Okay.
I think he's got some experience about being what he's called himself, the American cowboy. He has authored the book, Cowboy Millionaire, the New American Pioneer. We have got Leif Simon. Leif, thank you for coming on the show today.
I'm happy to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, we have a lot of people, Leif, whose vision of their retirement and as they age is really to, you know, explore, as we said. And that may mean just travel. That in many cases means they've got the idea of living overseas. But most people have never done that, right? We vacationed. That's our extent of leaving, in this case, Canada. So let's talk a little bit about your experiences in this.
Yeah, when you look at all the different countries you've been in and you've done businesses all around the world, what are some of the benefits of doing what you've been doing, and what are some of the drawbacks?
So I talk about in the book and I talk about in my newsletters and e-letters is diversification. So, and when you say diversification, people think, you know, investment diversification, which is one part of it, but it's lifestyle diversification and controlling your life better. And, you know, to take a big leap during the pandemic with all that, all those things you mentioned that I have at the start of the show here, I was able to be where I wanted to be, unlike being stuck somewhere in the world that most people had to be stuck. So we actually stayed in France during most of the pandemic because our main base in Panama wasn't a fun place to be during the pandemic. But because of the second citizenship and the residency options, I was able to move around to be where I needed to be. We ended up going to the States for 4 months, but came back to France because we have our EU passport, and wherein Americans couldn't come back. So that level of diversification is what I've built up over 25 years. For someone looking to retire overseas, one of the biggest things that they look at is the cost benefit. You know, having a lower cost of living, having your US or Canadian dollar go farther. And there's lots of places where you can live less expensively, depending on where you're coming from, than you are back home.
One of the biggest drawbacks that we hear from people who are trying to live abroad is that they get tied back to a couple of anchors in this country of Canada. Number one, the healthcare system. Number two, family members. So if you've got children, your kids are, let's say, in Canada, and you're out in Paris where you are right now, and then going back and forth and meeting with the family and so forth, it's kind of like a roadblock. What do you say to those individuals who talk about healthcare and family?
So yeah, for Canadians, the healthcare system is a bigger tie than Americans with the Medicare, because they moving overseas for Americans, they don't lose Medicare, but it only covers them in the U.S. For on the family side, right? There's two levels to it. There's the children and grandchildren, and we know people who've moved to countries right now. There's a couple in Panama that we know who are trying to sell their house to move back to the U.S. to be with the grandchildren. Right? They retired young. They retired in their early 50s. They've been overseas for now almost 15 years. But now they have grandchildren that are 3 or 4 years old and they want to spend more time with them. So they're actually moving back. So it's not necessarily a one-way leap. So you can take that from that. But you've got to manage that. So one thing we tell people is, you know, move somewhere where the kids and the grandkids may want to be, right? So maybe you're moving to a place that has nice beaches. The grandkids can come down for the summertime. That's one option. The other side of it though is aging parents. And so for my case, I'm the only child. My mother just moved into an assisted living facility, and the neighbors are great. They help out with things. My son is living in her house, helping out with things, but he's moves around as well. So we've figured it out, but you've got to put a plan in place, obviously.
One thing that I highlighted was also that you have bank accounts in 15 different countries. And when people think about that, they think about all the regulation, all the tax filing, all the work you got to do to be, and especially as an American would have to disclose all their worldwide income to the IRS in Canada. If you're a non-resident of Canada, you really don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. So how do you deal with having your money literally all around the world?
It can become overly administrative. And I try and warn people about that at our conferences. You know, don't do it just because someone said it was a good idea, right? If you don't need bank accounts in 15 countries, and at the moment I've opened them in different countries and closed them over the years as well. Just do what fits what you're trying to figure out. And for many people, you know, retiring overseas, it could be as simple as opening a local bank account in the country you move to, and that's it. And generally recommend keep your bank account back home, so that you can maintain whatever bills that you have to pay there. I say keep your credit cards from the country you're coming from, because you don't have credit in the new country. You're not likely to get a credit card right away. So there's things like that where you're going to be balancing between the two countries. But a lot of people move overseas, they don't even open a local bank account. They live off of their ATM card and pay cash for everything, or pay by credit card or debit card their local bills. So there's ways to scale it down to something that's more manageable. On the US tax filing side, you're right. Americans have to file and have a lot more reporting than Canadians do, especially Canadians that are able to
non-resident, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. To separate themselves from the Canadian system. Yeah.
Leif, I made the comment earlier that there's a big difference between traveling and vacationing, okay, and living overseas. And so if you were talking to somebody who is considering this adventure that you've been on, what would you say? What do they need to be aware of? What do they need to consider before they decide? Or what are they going to expect when they move to a new country to live there?
Right. So the first thing we like to tell people is, you know, the cost of living isn't the same that you see as a tourist as it will be when you're living there. And one example there is a friend of ours who perpetually travels. They've retired 40 years ago when they were young and just have moved around. And they spent 6 months in Paris 1 year. And he was an accountant, so he kept track of his expenses every month for the 6 months. And his last month there was his cheapest month living in Paris as a temporary resident than his first month, because he figured out where not to go as a tourist, right? If you have a Coke on the Champs-Élysées, it's going to cost you 15 euros, maybe. If you buy a Coke at a little local restaurant, it's still not going to be cheap in Paris, but it's going to be, you know, a third of that. So that's one thing you need to dig in as a local to see if it's really what you're interested in for a lifestyle, because the tourist effect of places is totally different than being there day to day. And so to get that, we say, you know, just try a place out for 2 or 3 months. Most countries, Canadians and Americans, can enter on a tourist visa that lasts for up to 90 days. So you don't have to deal with residency yet at that level. And you can just, you know, get a feel for the place. You know, with Airbnb, it's a little bit easier now. You can actually rent a home or an apartment instead of staying in a hotel, and go to the local grocery stores, go to the local restaurants and activities, and see if the what's available there is what you're looking for in your retirement.
Leif, we have to leave it there, but you know, how do people get a hold of your book, Cowboy Millionaire, The New American Pioneer?
They can find it on Amazon. So if they go to amazon.ca or amazon.com, they can get it there. They can find more about our overall discussions of this of these topics at liveandinvestoverseas.com and sign up for one of our free e-letters.
Terrific. Leif, I want to thank you very much. Leif is a founding partner of Live and Invest Overseas, also the author of Cowboy Millionaire, A New American Pioneer. Thanks, Leif.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
You know, Dave, there's a lot of people when they start transitioning to retirement,
yeah,
have those visions and dreams,
yeah,
of living abroad or even vacationing or staying longer term than,
right,
just maybe a 2 week vacation.
Right.
And it has to fit into an overall plan, a strategy. One thing Leif did say was, how do you make sure you've got a proper plan in place,
right,
for all this? And so how do you actually put this all together and make it work? We're going to talk about this on Tuesday, August 27th at the Carriage House Inn. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
Faisal, markets have had a good run so far this year. Have they gone too high Is it time to sell? Join us after the break here on QR Calgary and More Than Money.